Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. And when you get there, hold your finger there and flip over to John chapter 1 as well. First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. This idea of resurrection, what happened at resurrection and so forth, was being discussed by the church there in Corinth. And Paul steps forward and begins to address that, beginning in verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Have you taken your stand on the gospel? By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died. What's of first importance? Listen to this. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. That He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Peter and then the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also. Now flip over to John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. This is referring to John the Baptist. Saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Amen. The next day John was there again with his two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw... hang on just a second. Don't you think John, in our... don't you think John in our little turf wars would have said, wait. You're with me. You're with me. Hello. But no, he introduced them to Jesus. They followed him, and he obviously blessed that. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did... The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill this place and fill us. Speak with power and authority your words and pierce our hearts and transform us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. We are continuing the sermon series today on dying with Christ. Dying with Christ. Dying is, as I said last week, if you missed last week, please try to check it out on the internet or out on our stand with the DVDs and CDs. But we're, as I said, we're undergoing this transformation of the structure of our church and leadership, and we are adopting the conference model, this DINE model, which stands for the D is deploy, and then invite, nurture, and equip. And I will be going through each of these today in the next 2 weeks. Today we are looking at this I, this invite, to invite to Christ. Now notice, I didn't say to invite to Wylie United Methodist Church. Did you notice that? Now, it doesn't mean that what I'm hoping is as people come to Wylie United Methodist Church, they find Christ. But the intent and the goal and the strategy is to invite people to Jesus Christ, not to just build our membership. This inviting, this going and bear fruit. I want you to, real quickly, I'm going to hit these, there's five, and there's many, many more, but five different times that I'm going to share here that where Christ is admonishing us to bear fruit. In Matthew 3:8, he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John 15, he says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. Matthew 7 says, by their fruit you will recognize them. John 15, Jesus says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Hello, we don't like that one, do we? If your limb, if your tree is empty, I'm not saying this. Jesus says, he cuts us off. No branch can bear fruit by itself. John 15:4. This idea of inviting to Christ, this go and bear fruit. About, I guess it was within the first year that I was pastor here. It's been about 7-8 years ago. We had a family, the Carmichaels. Anybody remember the Carmichaels? Todd and Cindy Carmichael? What a great family. They have since, he got a job in the Metroplex and have since moved on. They had two of these precious little girls, Morgan and Presley. And Morgan and Presley were awesome, weren't they? These precious little girls. And Presley was the youngest. And I'm thinking when they were here, Presley was what, about four maybe? Y'all that knew her, maybe? Little bitty tyke. Well, one day we were up here, bunch of people. We were up here having a fellowship meal, and the kids are, everybody's rejoicing in fellowship. It was a great time, and the kids are kind of scattered doing their own thing. And all of a sudden, Presley, Mom and Dad began as they searched. They're thinking, she's out here out in the foyer, and they looked, and we checked upstairs, and the anxiety of the family and really the whole church began to grow because everybody, we had, 50, 75 people wandering around the church, upstairs, downstairs, restrooms, and the search expanded. Presley, we could not find Presley. And we were that close to calling the police. It was that kind of an emergency. And I was concerned that she had maybe perhaps gotten outside, and I was concerned about the water down here. And we're scurrying all over, and this went on for 15, 20 minutes looking for little Presley. Well, when you leave today, you see the little picture back here on the white wall? Right around the right-hand corner where that the accordion wall, where it breaks down, there's a little bitty space right in there. And Presley was having her little game of hide and seek. Only she was the only one playing. You heard about the when they found the skeleton that they identified was like a 75-year-old skeleton. You heard that was the A&M champion hide-and-seek player. I don't know if you heard about that. I'm sorry, Kevin. It's lonely at the top. Okay. But Presley, I don't even remember who found her, but somebody found Presley hunkered in there, hiding, and she was just had the biggest smile on her face. She just thought it was great that everyone was running around calling her name. She was lost, and people that loved her were seeking her because they loved her. They were seeking to find her. That is the essence, the core of being an inviting church. Understanding that. Now, Presley didn't know she was lost. She was just having a great old time. But she was lost. And those that loved her were frantically trying to find her. They were seeking to find her. So it kind of reminds me of the scripture where Jesus says that he will hunt for the lost sheep. The 99, you know, they're together. They've got some protection being together. I'm going for that lost sheep. The heart of Christ, the heart of the inviting Christian. Because, see, we are to take on the heart of Christ. So if Christ is concerned about the lost, then we should be concerned about the lost. I want to move through my outline if you want to follow me along. To be an inviting Christian, you must first have your own relationship with Christ. We heard in Paul's letter to the Corinthians how he said that he's passing this on of first importance in how Christ was dead and how he was in the tomb and how he appeared to all these different people. But if you noticed at the bottom, he said, but he also, lastly, he appeared to me. Paul had encountered the living Christ. Therefore, he had something to share. And John, in this John's passage, as we read that, said, I have seen that this is the Son of God. This John the Baptist, as he's telling his disciples about Jesus, he himself said, I have seen this is the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. To be an inviting Christian, you must have your own relationship with Christ. You cannot share something you don't have. And it's, as I said, it is not about inviting, even though that's a great thing and I encourage you to, it's not just about inviting people to our church because we're a loving church that loves one another and we have great fellowship and we get along. All those are great things, but have you invited someone to Christ? Have you invited someone into a relationship with Christ? And even deeper, that question is, do you have your own relationship with Christ? It ultimately comes down to understanding what Christ did for you. You know, and you've heard, many of you have heard my story as a young man, a young boy. I grew up in the church and mom and dad were faithful Christians and took me every Sunday to church. And I was very much adapted to the church, to the church life. And they told me about Christ, but it wasn't until I was 30 that I really understood Christ died for me. And that changed everything in my life. It changed everything in my life. It wasn't about going to church and loving people. It wasn't just about, you know, having a great Sunday school class and all those things that are important and having a worship service, you know, where great things happen in the world. It wasn't just about that. It was about this Savior, this God who loved me enough to hang on a cross for me. And when I understood that, it changed everything. The artist Rembrandt, and I just found this out. Some of you may have known this, but Rembrandt, one of the great artists of all time, he painted a picture of the crucifixion. And it's hanging in a museum in Germany. I can't remember the name of the museum, but he painted this picture of the crucifixion, and it's got Christ is on the cross, and it's got two men that are kind of pushing the cross up into place, and a third that's kind of leaning there supporting as they're doing that, that's assisting them in that. And someone, as they viewed that picture, they said to Rembrandt, they said, "That looks like you." And he says, "It is me. It is me." Because see, he understood that it was his sin that nailed him there. He had something to share because he had relationship with this man named Jesus Christ, this God named Jesus Christ. And in Galatians, listen to Paul again. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Rembrandt got that. Do we get it? It's where it starts, to be an inviting Christian. The second thing, to be an inviting Christian, we are called to testify to what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And you've heard me say this many times, it's not about getting our ticket. Scripture is totally contradicts the way many of us live our lives, where it's just about accepting Christ, being saved, having an eternal home to look forward to, and then just going about our business. No, Christ is calling us to go and make disciples. He's calling us to bear fruit, to testify to what he has accomplished on our behalf. Paul says, "By this gospel you are saved." He's testifying. In John, the passage we read, John the Baptist said, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Just struck me, what would have happened if those two individuals had remained silent? Had got their ticket, put it in their pocket, tucked it away for a rainy day, and went on about their business? Did you know the Apostle Paul, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament? You and I are sitting here today, as hopefully as believers in Jesus Christ, probably it came through the churches that Paul established. Because he established most of the Gentile churches, which led to us hearing the gospel message. What if he had just done that? What if he had have refused to testify of this God that he knew, this Christ that had died for him? The third thing, to be an inviting Christian, you must share Christ with others. I absolutely love these two verses. The first one out of Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, he says, As he's trying to teach this church who's having this dialogue about resurrection, he tells them, "For what I received, this own relationship with Jesus Christ, I passed on to you of first importance." You know, yeah, the rituals of the church, those are great and good and wonderful and all that. But what is of first importance is that Christ died for us. That Christ was God made flesh, that he came, that he died for us. He lived a sinless life. He took those nails for us. He stayed in the tomb for 3 days, just as had been foretold through the Old Testament hundreds of years before, and then he rose. He was seen dead and buried by hundreds of witnesses, and he was seen alive and resurrected by hundreds of witnesses. What Paul is saying is, all of that, who Jesus is, that's first importance, and I've passed it on to you. Now, I want to tell you, and this may sound kind of tacky, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you are here this morning and you're hearing me right now, you're without excuse. I'm telling you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ right now. You've heard it. You're without excuse. To be an inviting Christian, we must share Christ with others. It's not the preacher's job, even though I do that. It's your job. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, it's your job. Nowhere in Scripture does it say all the pastors should go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. All the pastors should go and bear fruit. No. If you've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if He has redeemed you from a life of eternal death, then we are to share that. And I love this passage, the verse with Andrew. You see, Andrew, you notice Andrew, it doesn't say that when he was hanging out and he was a disciple of John the Baptist that he ran and told his brother, hey. It doesn't say that. It says, when he met Jesus, when John the Baptist shared Christ with him, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Andrew met Jesus, and the first thing he did was to find his brother Simon. Do you think that's maybe because he loved his brother? Who do you love that needs Jesus? Who do you not love so much that needs Jesus? Because Scripture doesn't tell us just to share it with those you love. But that's our natural instinct, isn't it? By the way, I tried a new restaurant. I tried a new restaurant Friday night. Skeets. Anybody been to Skeets? Four people. Good. Well, Skeets. It's a new restaurant. It has the old Buns Over Texas building over there across from the Walmart. Great place to eat. You know, when we have something that has blessed us, we want to share that. What I can tell you, Jesus has blessed me a lot more than Skeets did Friday night. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. He didn't just tell him about him. He brought him to Jesus. Look, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If you would look on the back of your bulletin, I'm sorry, the back of your insert, sermon insert. As I said, being an inviting Christian is not supposed to just happen while you're in church. But we as a church, as a church body, we are attempting to put systems in place where we instinctively, naturally, just being an inviting Christian just kind of flows out of us in some of the structure of our church. And if you can look down through there on the invite team, this is the team that tries to take care of that piece of our ministry, that piece of our ministry that is about inviting, not just inviting to Wiley Methodist Church, but inviting into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice the little caption down about the third line down from the word invite. Invite people into deep relationship with Christ. And back in the fall, we had Byron Stevenson. I don't want to embarrass Byron, but I told the story about Byron's friend that Byron ministered to this friend. And because of circumstances, because of people he knew and relationships he already had, this person ended up in a church in Anson, Texas. And you know what I say to that? Praise God. If that's the church he's supposed to belong to and his heart's being ministered to and he's able to be about God's business out of that church, praise the Lord. As far as I know, he's never been to church here. May never be to church here. But someone in our church invited him into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and has blessed that man. Perhaps even for all eternity. So as I go down through here, I just want to highlight what's going on. The invite team, you can see there. Is Becky and Susie, are y'all here? Wave your hand real big where we can see you. Becky and Susie, Becky Poindexter and Susie Shahan are heading up the invite team. And we have our Alpha Sunday School class, our young adults, which is, by the way, we're going to have to knock out some walls. That class is growing so much. It's an awesome class. There's a couple in there that I'll pass off to you if I get a chance, but no, I'm just kidding. Chris Gay, I didn't mean you. No, the Alpha class is, Chris is my smiling face. The Alpha class is four couples from that class are heading up our visitor follow-up team. And raise your hand. The Browns, where are you at? Browns, the Montez. I don't know if they. I think they've got a sick child. The Gays and the Parishes. Where's the Parishes? Okay, our visitor follow-up team right there. Carl, where's Carl? Carl Johnson is heading up our ushers and our greeters. Jordan Payne and Jared are on a youth trip. Jordan is our McMurray representative. Sorry, McMurray. Sorry, Kirby. She gets mad when I say Mac Murray. He's not Mac Murray, Dad. McMurray, excuse me. Kay, where's Kay? Kay had an angio thingamajiggy where she put a stent in. There's Kay. Stent in, day before yesterday, Friday, and she's already here. Way to go, Kay. I'm glad you brought Jim with you. Our member outreach, our youth in college are taking care of our sign outside. Aaron, where's Aaron? I know Aaron was here earlier. Okay. Does our advertising and so forth. Martha and Leela, are you guys, raise your hand. Martha and Leela, our sanctuary shepherds. If you want to know what more of these positions do, talk to these folks. But our sanctuary shepherd is just that, trying to shepherd people in getting people that will love and take care of people in their area of our sanctuary and be cognizant of when they're here, when they're not, if they're sick, if they have needs, so on and so forth. Chuck Childress, I know, is out of the state for a few weeks. Chuck is handling our transportation when we need to pick people up. Crystal, is Crystal here? Home with sick kids. Got a lot of sick folks. Crystal, something new that we're doing is trying to produce some different videos for things that we can show in church. Perhaps things that will ultimately be on our website, perhaps even TV spots, whatever in the future. In Arliss, you back there? And Terry, I think they're sick, but they handle our web page. The thing about this is, nothing that we do is perfect. Nothing that we do is carved in stone. We are looking always for better and more ways to be an inviting church. So if God is laying that on your heart that you want to be a part of that sort of ministry, I want you to see Becky and Susie. Raise your hands one more time, ladies. Becky and Susie. And let them know that you'd like to be a part of that ministry. There is a young girl. I think she's in the second grade now. Many of y'all have been keeping up with Landry Robinson. Landry is, when she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, was, I think, a first grader last year. Precious little girl. We ended up, we had six puppies here a few weeks ago, and Landry got one of our puppies, which just gave me more joy than you can even imagine to hand that puppy to little Landry. But she was a normal little first grade kid and a year ago, and she began to tell her mom that she would say, my brain hurts. Not my head hurts, but my brain hurts. She understood that there was something in there deeper that was going on. And they kind of, you know, and there was some vision issues and stuff, and they kind of, just pushed that aside for a little while. Then they took her to doctors and so forth. They ended up diagnosing her with this brain tumor. That little girl's been through more in the past year than anybody should have to go through in their whole life. She's had brain surgery. She's had chemo and radiation of all flavors and varieties, and she's been stuck and poked more than anybody should have to be. And I remember just right before Christmas, not in 2010, but in 2009, I remember that she finished all of her treatments and all of her scans were clear. And I've been keeping up with her on care pages on the internet, she's been going back every couple of months or so for the past year and clean scan. About 2 or 3 months ago, they found another spot in her brain. And little Andrey is going through it again, and the prognosis is not good. It's not good for her. What if I had the cure in my pocket for Landry? I mean, physically, the cure. All she has to do is take this little pill, and she's well. And what if I went about my business, and my pocket, my hand didn't go in my pocket. I just went on about my business, knowing that little Andrey was hurting, knowing that I had the answer for everything that she's going through, now, tomorrow, and for all eternity. That's the way it is, friends in Christ, when we don't share Christ. I mean, if he's really who he said he is, and if he's really changed your life, how can we go about our business without inviting others to meet him? How can we do it? There's a song that I want to play that illustrates what I think God would have us to hear this morning. So listen to this song.
Hear my prayer. I need the perfect words, words that he will hear, and know they're straight from you. I don't know what to say. I only know it hurts to see my only friend slowly fade away. So maybe this time I'll speak the words of life with your fire in my. But that old familiar fear is tearing at my words. What am I so afraid of? 'Cause here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And then I dance around the truth. Time is not its friend. This might be my last chance to tell him that you love. Gave your only son, if he will just believe, he will never die. But how then will he know? But he has never heard, Lord, he has never seen mirrored in my life. So maybe this time I'll speak the words of life with your fire in my eyes. But that old things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not his friend. This might be my last chance to tell him that you love him. But here I go again. Here I go. Here I go. With your fire in my eyes, but that old familiar fear is tearing at my words. What am I so afraid of? 'Cause here I go again, talking about rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not his friend. This might be chance to tell him that you love him. This might be my last chance to tell him that you love him. This might be my last chance to tell him that you love him. You love him. You love him. What am I so afraid? What am I so afraid? What am I so afraid of? But how then will he know what he has never heard?
We have been called, appointed by Christ himself to invite people into relationship with Christ, to share the gospel as of first importance. This might be your last chance to tell him that God loves him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, now I ask that you would, even now as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, that you would prompt a name, prompt a face in our hearts, in our minds, of who needs to hear about you. Pray against the lie that these names are just all being made up in your own imagination. I pray that God would seal these names and these hearts in us, would not let us get away from it. Father, I pray, it's kind of an odd prayer, but I pray that you'd be a pest. I pray, God, that you would not give us a moment's rest until we share Christ with these people. We thank you that you did send your Son. We thank you that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We thank you that you are hope when there is no hope. You are comfort when we see no comfort. You are peace that passes understanding. And you are light in the darkness. You are life when there's death. You are eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us and for taking the nails for us. In the powerful and strong name of Jesus, amen. As we stand to close, I'll be down front if you would like to come forward and speak with me or pray with me. If our prayer team, would you guys make yourself available around the front, some in the back? Would you make yourself available? If you see someone with the blue tag on, they have agreed to pray with you. So let's stand. Received, I have passed on to you of first importance. That Christ died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended to heaven. He lives with God. He is our Savior. Go and tell someone. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
You make everything glorious.